Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And this is the season of Matariki, and you will have no doubt noticed various advertisements on television and on radio, or seen signage around about the stars of Matariki. You may have heard the phrase Manawatea or Matariki, the celebrations and the heart of Matariki. Or you may have heard Ngā Whetū or Matariki, the stars of Matariki. Essentially, this is a call to pause, a call to remember, a call to come together. And think in Pākehā culture, we are used to people talking about pressing the pause button or have a lie down or have a cuppa. And then, of course, if you think about seasonal impacts, this is the time of midwinter. So what's wrong with a midwinter's Christmas? What's wrong with a family get-together? It's a time of the year to huddle together, enjoy food together, and enjoy being warm together and sharing reflections. It is a natural pause in living. And for Māori, it's the new year. I mean, after all, in the UK, when you have Christmas, it's followed by New Year, because that's the seasonal time when everything changes, and people know that spring planting will come. And for Māori, it's quite similar. The new year marks the rising of the star cluster, 500-odd stars, known as Pleiades by astronomers. And this cluster is seen in the winter sky, and, of course, it's because the stars and planets change in their movements. They're not the same each year. So the anniversary or the holiday, the public holiday now associated with Matariki, will change year by year. So this year it's in July, but last year it was in June. It's always about this time of the year, but it varies over a period of 2 to 3 weeks. And this year there will be a dawn ceremony led by Ngāti Whātua, Ora Rākei, and they will begin proceedings at 5:30 on Friday the 10th of July. So when you are listening to the program, this will have already happened, and anybody who has been to it will tell you it was worth going for and worth getting up in the cold. It's a time to honour those who have passed, celebrate the present, and look ahead with hope. And it's a time to not only reflect, but to engage in new learning. Because we reflect differently when we undertake new learning. We're developing new neural pathways in the brain that are new. Those new patterns invite us to think creatively and consider where we've seen patterns similar before in our life or in nature. And that sort of stimulation encourages people to produce and create, to make art and to tell stories. So Ngā Pū Rākau, the storytelling is going on at this time, whether it's formally in meetings on marae, or whether it's in libraries, or whether it's just in around fireplaces and heaters in people's homes. And lighting becomes a focus. And so there are wonderful light installations down Queen Street. There are many fluorescent tubes creating a sculpture of birds and all kinds of creatures. There will be corduroy and music, storytelling and conversation and discussion in various venues. And I think that there are light paths where, in fact, I know there are some set up formally. There's one in Glen Innes that they've been doing every year since Matariki became more official on the calendar. And that one has fireworks. So they have a fireworks display at 9 o'clock at night. But they start at 6 and they have a lot of interesting food. Kai is available from food trucks and stalls. They have storytelling, they have entertainment, they have music. It's going to be quite exciting, and that's going to be next week from Wednesday the 15th, Thursday the 16th, through to Friday 17th, and the final is on Saturday the 18th, where the fireworks occurs at 9 p.m. at night. There is also a light installation at the Viaduct Harbour, and I believe that is continuing from now through till the 18th of July, and I haven't seen that yet, but I understand it's there. You can check things out by going into Google to see what Matariki celebrations are happening in Auckland, where they are, and how much they cost. In most cases, they don't cost anything, but if there's a concert or something like that, then obviously there's probably an entry fee. So use Google and find out what's on, and go and explore, go and visit and check things out, because this is the way we learn and this is the way we actually discover things. So take a friend, create your own Matariki get-together, go for a walk, see the lights, taste some new food. This year, I started my preparations for Matariki when I was at the Auckland Writers' Festival. I had the good fortune to attend the wonderful presentation by Witi Ihimara Smaila concerning his new book, Te Kai Koko, The Swimmer. Now, this Puka Puka, this wonderful book, was embellished by him personally, and he wrote his greeting to me with a gold pen, gold ink, on the flyleaf of the front cover. And really, it was a most amazing occasion, both to have heard the presentation and to have been at the book signing and had this personalised copy given back to me. And I think it's one of the books that I've been most excited about buying in the last 10 years. And the whole excitement grew as I listened to the story of a man of 80 taking the plunge, already a master storyteller in English, taking the plunge to discover the depths, the layers, the multifaceted nature of te reo, the power from the depths, just how much concentrated absorption could one do at 80, given limitations of aging, perhaps some struggle with memory, with retaining new words, not having the automatic thinking that comes when you get fluent in a language. It was a big challenge indeed. Discovering some of the beauty, some of the breathtaking wonder in the real world, and that opens to people who take that challenge up, was just the most amazing transformation for me, because I'm one of those born-again Māori learners who took the plunge 20-odd years ago when the Māori Renaissance was happening in Wellington. And for me, living in Auckland has been difficult to sustain that real learning. So I was seeing things through fresh eyes, listening to Witty's story and accounts of his challenge and how he stepped up. So reading a chapter a week from Te Kai Koko, this book called The Swimmer, by Witty Ihimara Smiler, has kept me focused on reflecting. As I've approached Matariki, I have had the good fortune to think about the people who instructed me in te reo, the people who shared their joy of the reo with me, people who had the passion to want to ignite everybody into learning this wonderful language. And when I think about people who've passed on, I was watching the BAFTA Awards on the arts program on telly, and I saw that Lee Tamahori had passed on, and it's because I'd been out of the country at the time and I hadn't been watching any media. I was totally unaware that this had actually happened. But it was quite an inspiration to see top film directors and producers being honoured officially at the BAFTAs Award and at the award ceremony. And here was Lee Tamahori up on the screen with others from other nations, putting us on the map. And that was a wonderful moment. And I recalled actually attending one of the inaugural screenings of Once Were Warriors with one of the Ngāti Porou aunties who had taught me te reo and had instructed me in all manner of aspects of tikanga, as she was one of the key people instrumental in the development of the bicultural foundation for Te Papa. And she has now passed on, of course, some time ago, but Rehapiti Walters met kings and queens from all over the world when they visited Wellington and were taken to see our treasure house at Te Papa. I have had a great deal of privilege in my life in being able to be exposed to some very wonderful reo speakers, and I was thinking particularly of Huirangi Waikiripuru, the father of Māori television in many respects, as he secured those critical airwaves for Māori to be able to have television through his court action which was persistent, very well organised strategically, and very successful over a period of years. And of course, nobody acts alone. There were very keen groups of supporters, like Kai Whakapuma o Te Reo, with people like Piripi Walker and younger Māori coming in behind and doing lots of spade work. But essentially, being exposed to the passion and the vision and the direction and the creativity of a number of movers and shakers in the real world was a huge influence on me as a person, on my character, and on my opportunities, not only for learning but for seeing the development that was going on in the country. And sometimes, you know, people question, oh, well, I can't follow this, or I don't know what that word means, or why do I listen to this, or why should I listen to this, without actually having much idea of the context. And I think context is everything with language. And that's why I'm having this conversation with you about Matariki, because this season I've been really moved by the numbers of people who have genuinely shared with me their frustration or bewilderment at not really understanding or knowing much about Matariki, and why is it such an important thing? Why are we having a public holiday? Why? And all of these questions are burning questions, which I think deserve answers. So in this session, I want to just briefly touch on just a little of the stars of this cluster. So with over 500, not all of them can, or even many of them can be seen, but there are seven prominent stars that a lot of iwi refer to. Some refer to nine, but the majority refer to seven. And these seven stars are all named, and they all link to the activities of Matariki. So they give you some understanding. Pahutukawa, which you are aware is a tree with a red blossom, and you probably have known that it's also a word for red and used on paint charts these days. But that star, Pohutukawa, is really about those people who've passed on, who've kuanaro rato, they've gone to the spirit world. And so these people are celebrated for their achievements and their contribution because activities are intergenerational in the Māori world so strongly that ancestral links, ties and threads are always being drawn whenever there's conversation and gatherings. And this is one of those times of the year when it's particularly appropriate to intensify this. Now, and I mentioned a few names earlier on as part of this focus. So the next star I want to talk about is Tupua Nuku. And Tupua Nuku is the star named to talk about the abundance of the harvest for root crops. It's about what's grown below ground. Whereas Tupuarangi is the star about the food supply that comes from berries, fruits and birds. And so it ends in the word rangi. And so, as you can imagine, all of these things are in the air. They're attached to trees, or they're linked to trees and tree cover, but they're essentially of the sky. So abundance can be below the ground or above the sky. And there's two other food sources that stars are named after, Waiti and Waitā. So Waiti is for freshwater lakes, rivers and streams, and all the ecosystems associated with them. And Waitā is the seafood and abundance of creatures from the ocean. Ururangi is the star that predicts the weather, the star that's its kōrero is about winds. And again, you've got the word rangi, which is the word for sky. So that's not difficult to follow. And we're getting close to the star that people find easy to remember. Children are fascinated with Hiwi Ite Rangi, Hiwa Ite Rangi. And that's the witching star about hopes, dreams and aspirations. And so I've watched children in libraries choosing a star and then writing their wish or their dream on the star and sticking that onto the wall or onto a chart. And that's often done in schools and preschools and places. So because the process makes sense. So like New Year's resolutions. And these names and the information about these stars I've got from Te Papa Matariki Star Guide. That's from Te Papa Tongarewa, our National Museum. And that material has come from the Star of the Year, the book by Rangi Matamua, published by Huia, in case anybody's wanting to find out more. So some of the stars, of course, were associated with proverbs. And because these stars, how they appear, if they're bright and clear, or if they're a bit dim, if they're high in the horizon or low in the horizon, it adds to the focus, the nudge, the general prediction of what the year is going to offer. So with these stars all having their names, obviously they give hope and bring messages to people based on what is seen in the night sky. And Waiti, the freshwater lakes, rivers and streams star, when it's seen in the morning sky, if it's dim when it rises, then it's a warning sign that the food supplies may be scarce. Now, that's food like salmon and whitebait and things that go upstream in the rivers to spawn. And so there are proverbs about the lamprey, which is an aquatic creature that goes upstream to spawn. And that proverb refers to that star, Waiti. Now, the last star that I haven't mentioned, Waipunarangi, is the star about the clouds and the rain in the sky. And the proverb for that one, Matariki Tāpuapua, talks of pools of matariki, like we might talk about pools of water on the ground. So this is really a sign, I guess, of what we're seeing these days with our climate change, where people are talking about rivers in the sky, we're getting deluges of water from the clouds because of the way that climate change is impacting. And overall, the hope and the positivity of this festive season of Matariki is really about maximising our health and our well-being. Because when those stars are high and bright, it is a symbol that we're going to have a good time. We're going to have an abundant food supply and we're going to be living in peaceful times. The saying, Matariki huarahi ki te oranga tangata, translates as the pathway to well-being of humanity, of us all. And that's the theme that we need to embrace when we're going out, when we're exploring, when we're trialing new learning, when we're having a go, maybe incorporating a few Māori words into our conversations, as I've noticed people doing. It's a little movement forward. It's not a big movement, but it's a friendly one. And if enough people are doing it, then it normalises. It becomes easier all around. And that's how we join together. That's how we unify in our country. Let's have that awareness that we can be more inclusive, more magnanimous, and more willing to share what is, after all, the treasure that's developed in Aotearoa, the reo that's sustained people over 26 generations. And it's a very powerful language. It's very productive. So, of creativity and well-being for everyone. So let's enjoy your Matariki time, and we'll be together again next Sunday.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.